There is so much on the line right now for the Steelers this upcoming weekend. Week 18, the first ever Week 18 in the NFL regular season. I'm Chris Carter, the Locked On Steelers podcast. Joining me will be Jenna Hunter of Channel 11 WPXI. We're not going to just talk about the Steelers and the Ravens. We're also going to talk about Jaguars, Colts. We're also going to talk about TJ Watt maybe breaking the sack record. He won team MVP for a third consecutive time. There's a lot that's going on, and there's a lot that could go into the defensive player of the year argument. We're going to talk about all of that right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things in the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. Hit the like button on YouTube if you're watching this video. Hit the subscribe button to our channel to get all of our daily content right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. We thank you for making us your first listen every day. Joining me as always on Fridays is Jenna Hunter. Back in the show. Jenna, how you doing?
Chris, I'm wonderful. Happy Friday. It's week 18. It's crazy to think that we're a week out from playoffs. It doesn't feel that way at all, but we made it.
We did. We made it, and I think there's a lot of excitement going on right now. But before we get to playoff talk, we got to talk about the Steelers team MVP TJ Watt, as voted by the team that was announced Thursday. And he spoke before the media. TJ is in a position where it's obvious he's the most important player of the team right now. When he plays, they're 9-3. When he plays all four quarters, they're 9-3. When he doesn't, that's where all the other losses and ties have come from. It's clear to anyone that watches the Steelers that he's the guy that makes the engine go on defense, and he's a game wrecker. And that's something that Mike Tomlin talked about on Thursday after practice as well, just talking about how we don't aim to get the highest sack numbers or anything, but we aim to wreck games. That's exactly what he does.
That is the epitome of TJ Watt. He is a guy that teams across the board have to game plan. And we saw it Monday night against the Browns. He's going up against a rookie offensive lineman, and good luck, because four sacks straight up. It's been a couple of days. Because he has the half on the year. That's right. Four sacks. He's one away from potentially breaking Michael Strahan's record, which I know a whole lot of people have a whole lot of opinions on, because obviously the last one that Strahan had may or may not have been, questionable. And this is coming from somebody who's a Giants fan. I loved seeing him achieve that, but TJ Watt is a special player, and the fact that he has the ability, and more likely, as long as he plays and stays healthy in this game, he should break that record. I could see him at least getting a couple sacks against Baltimore, no matter who's at quarterback for the Ravens this weekend.
I went to look back at all of TJ Watt's games against the Ravens in his career, and early on in his career, he didn't do too well against the Ravens. He did have a sack in his rookie season that ended the game. He sacked Joe Flacco, caused a fumble, and the Steelers won on that 39-38 in 2017. But he only had one sack against the Ravens in his first four games against them. But in his last three, he's been on fire. He's had a sack against the Ravens, at least half a sack against the Ravens, for five straight games and playing them. But especially the last two games. Earlier this year, he got 3.5 sacks on Lamar Jackson, also had the 2-point conversion play that he disrupted and basically won the game for the Steelers there. But then even last year, you go back to the December game when it was on a Wednesday and one of the weirdest scheduled games of the year. He had 2 sacks in that game. And then even earlier that season when they were in Baltimore, he had a sack in that game. So he's developed this a way to kind of get after Lamar Jackson, and he's going to be going up against an offensive line he knows he can beat. This is an offensive line that hasn't been able to pick. We also don't know if Lamar Jackson will fully play. I was talking with Kevin Ostreicher of Locked On Ravens. He said Lamar Jackson didn't practice Wednesday. They're still not sure about Tyler Huntley, and there's questions about where that could be. But either way, he might have a chance to get after a quarterback and break this record. Not just tie it, because one sack would tie it, but we know with that situation, he could break the record. But again, Jenna, you know, the importance of the record, you know, Mike Tomlin talked about, he's like, it's not about the number of sacks, but it is about the impact of games. And we see his impact on games. Some of the people that there's out there, and they certainly are, about him not when he should. There's some people out there that say he shouldn't win defensive player of the year because it's not just about sacks. But even if you didn't make it about sacks, let's look at the four guys who would most likely be in this conversation. You have Aaron Donald, who's just always there because he wins it all the time. Yeah. Myles Garrett and Micah Parsons. Now, Micah Parsons is the one guy I could say, like, listen, I see your point because he does have a lot of tackles. He does impact the game a lot of different ways. But TJ Watt, as an edge rusher, has 45 tackles or solo tackles on the year. That's 13 more than Myles Garrett. That's 11 more than Aaron Donald. Now, Micah Parsons has him there, but he has the same TJ Watt has the same amount of tackles for loss as Micah Parsons. That's 20. That leads all four of the guys. His 21 and a half sacks is well above all four of those guys. He also has the most forced fumbles among them. Aaron Donald does tie him with four. He's recovered more fumbles. And he breaks up passes as well. When you look at what TJ Watt does, he's not just a sack man. He does everything the Steelers ask him to do.
And that's exactly it. Like, you know, everybody just wants to look at it as like, okay, he's a linebacker. He's not a defensive end in that way. Yada, yada, yada. Say what you want in terms of the position itself, but the impact he has on games, that's exactly it for me. Because there's so much conversation about it. You know, every national network, everybody local, you know, everywhere has an opinion on this. But it's also the fact, again, he is making impacts, but he's also taking over at crucial times in games. I mean, I'm trying to go back and it feels like there's been so many this season, but, you know, he comes up on the Ravens 2-point conversion for that play. Seattle, the ending of that game was because of him. Like, there's so many little key things where it's like he changed the way this game was going. And that probably is part of a factor of when the voters decide, you know, how did he affect games? What did he do? I also think it's interesting too with Micah Parsons, because obviously with him being a rookie, it's almost like, should he win defensive player of the year? Should he win defensive rookie of the year? You know, there are those types of things, of course. But just, you know, seeing the numbers that TJ Watt has put up, and I think because also everybody's like, oh, well, week 18, there wasn't a week 18, rewriting the record books, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. People forget Watt hasn't played, was it four games?
He's at least missed two complete games, but he's only played 14 games this season. Yeah. So even if he plays a full game on Sunday, there'll be 15 full games, and at least two or three of those games were games where he pulled out of.
Yeah. So, you know, in theory, he played, that'll be 13 full games this season. Mm-hmm. And to be able to do that in 13 full games against, remember, what was said to be the NFL's hardest schedule. Mm-hmm. And of course, against teams like the Browns, you are going to find the level of success. But even then you say that and it's like, nobody should have four sacks in one game. It's unbelievable what he's able to do. And you know, you do really sit there and you kind of have to like take yourself out of it, because you look at it and you're like, that is beyond impressive. And I think a lot of people are seeing that. We're hearing that from his teammates. I mean, there's a reason why he's paid what he's paid. There's a reason why Cam Hayward, week in, week out, you know, after a really emotional win Monday night, Cam Hayward made sure to say, TJ Watt better get that Defensive Player of the Year award.
And another reason is something that Mike Tomlin talked about is the pressure rate and the efficiency of it. TJ Watt, because they ask him to do everything and because if he's hurt, he's actually, if you look at the amount of snaps, according to Pro Football Focus, which is one of the culprits in this, Pro Football Focus is one of the organizations that several of their writers say, oh, he does, you know, there's this stat. But when I go back and I look at Pro Football Focus's numbers, TJ Watt has the 38th most pass rush snaps, which means there are at least 37 people above him who have more reps in pass rush than him. And he leads the NFL in sacks. He leads the NFL in quarterback hits. He's effective at all times. He's coming after you. And again, you know, for those who want to say, oh, he doesn't get double teamed. Jenna, you and I sit up in the press box and, you know, in all the games, and we see him getting double teamed.
TJ Watt is getting double teamed. TJ Watt is getting held. I think, again, back to favorite press conference moments. One of them on a Monday night, he was asked, you know, about getting held on a certain play, and he literally looked at us, and you don't hear this from TJ Watt. That's the thing. He looked at us and he goes, you know, well, your word's not mine. And like, that was his little like, yeah, I'm being held and I'm being held a lot. And yes, that happens pretty much on every play. It's just, you know, when do the refs really want to call it? But the fact that he is getting double teamed, the fact that he's doing that, and that he's still making the plays that he's playing at the rate that he's making them is just something that, you know, I think a lot of people are going to say automatically, snap judgment. Yes, he should win this. And in theory, he should. Is he going to? I think is the bigger question.
Is he going to? Yeah. Will he get the votes? Will people? And, you know, some of it, we've also seen part of it being, you know, oh, you know, Aaron Donald's paid his dues. He's been around longer and things like that. Well, TJ Watt's done paid his dues. He's been one of the guys that have been one of the major, you know, candidates for the last at least 2 years. This will be the third year. And again, last year he led the NFL in sacks. You know, he was an impactful player, and he was a huge part of what the Steelers were doing. So for me, I think it does come down to, you know, who votes, who actually puts him forward, you know, and if he doesn't get it this year, one, it's going to be interesting because I had this argument, with your boy Q of Locked On Raiders. We host the Friday edition of the Locked On NFL podcast. By the way, go listen to that because we have a heck of a show coming out for you as well. But we argued a couple weeks back about it, and he, you know, and we were arguing about efficiency. And I was talking about okay, all these things aside, if he breaks the Michael Strahan sack record, and he'll have done it in less games because he won't be able to play as many games as Michael Strahan, will you give him that nod? And he said, okay, if he does that, that'll do it. If that happens and he still doesn't get it, Jenna, Pittsburgh is going to riot.
I don't want to know, because Pittsburgh basically rioted last year when he didn't win. So I cannot even imagine if he breaks this record and he gets, you know, 2-3 sacks against the Ravens, and then that happens in a couple months. I don't want to see what that's going to be like.
I don't want to see that either, but we will see this weekend if he does break the sack record against the Ravens. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to do our picks. We're going to address our Run Your Pool competitors. We've had people picking all year long. And as you know, with runyourpool.com, the promotion that we did, Run Your Pool has told us they will send whoever wins this contest, if we're getting the most correct picks at the end of the year, a Steelers jersey of their choice. So we have people in the running. We'll talk about who's in the running. We'll give you our picks right after this. But first, we got to talk to you guys about Built Bar. It's the new year, which that means New Year's resolutions. And Built Bar is one of the best places to eat healthier and help you get fit. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, or maybe even better than a candy bar. And it makes it easier to stick to your New Year's resolution because it tastes so good, you'll want to eat it, unlike the protein bars that can be chalky, waxy, or taste like a chemical spill. You'll want to eat healthy. Well, it gets boring at times, but what you can do is you can get something that can satisfy your chocolate craving, because Built Bars have 100% real chocolate on them. And they only contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. That's packing the health, that's being delicious, and that avoids, you know, some candy bars that can range from 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and a lot of other net carb problems. An idea for the new year: go to all your secret treat stashes. Go to your home, your office, your car, wherever you keep, you know, your snacks, throw them away, replace them with Built Bars. It'll help you satisfy your cravings during the day, and it'll help you stay on task and stay healthy throughout the year. Even if you're not a huge fan of working out, you can at least do something, eat something that tastes good, and do something that's going to be healthy for your body. And so that it almost counts like a workout. Go to built.com. You'll see all the amazing flavors available for Built Bars, whether it's cookies and cream, salted caramel, mint brownie, and so many other flavors. At built.com, use to get 15% off your next order, use the promo code LOCKED15. Again, that's LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. We're also brought to you by GetUpside. Hey, Steelers fans, this is Chris Carter with an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. It's called GetUpside. My listeners are making up 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now to use promo code TOUCHDOWN, and you'll get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50% per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 or $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Get Upside app and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first prank. Again, that's promo code TOUCHDOWN. Now, I said a mouthful there with back-to-back ad reads, but that means we roll right into the picks, Jenna. Now, Jenna, neither you and I are in the running for first place this year in our picks. We've taken some hits this year. We've taken some wild leaps, and it hasn't worked out for us. Last week, we had several people win the week itself. Diehard Steeler number two, P. Camo 85, Dan J, Rushman, Jose, Steeler Nation 78, and the paper plate all went 14-2. But it's week 18, and the leaderboard is thus. There's one person in first place with 163 correct picks. That is Dan the Man at 106, with 163 correct picks this year. But Dan the Man, there are people on your coattails. Griffin Mange, who's also been up in that hunt, he has 162 wins right now. He's a game off. Dan J is three games off with 160. C Night Pipe has 158, and Cooper also has 157, along with Ethan Brown, Juju Pick-Schuster, and Rushman. So many people that are in the running. You can still have fun with us by going to runyourpool.com. The link is in the description of the YouTube video if you want to click on it and join us in on the fun and get your picks in there. Good luck to all the contestants here. But Jenna, let's get to the picks ourselves.
First,
we got the Chiefs at the Broncos. 11-5 Chiefs, 7-9 Broncos. Chiefs are fighting for the one seed. They fell last week to the Bengals. Would have helped them a little bit more. But they have a chance here to beat up on a Broncos team that's gone through a lot this year. Teddy Bridgewater, of course, done for the season with his injury that put him in the hospital. But, they're still looking to try to finish strong and avoid a 10-loss season. But the Chiefs, they've been rolling too well right now. And when I look at the conference standings, the Titans right now have the tiebreaker at 11-5 over them. The Titans themselves have an interesting game because they're going to be playing, I believe, the Texans. Yep. So that should be a gimme game for the Titans there. But the Chiefs also are in the position where they want to at least hold on to the two seed, even if they can't pass up the Titans this week. That's why I think they play well and they win the game.
That's what's going to be so interesting, is that a lot of these week 18 matchups have implications, and that's ideally what the league wanted to do in this situation. Yeah, I'm going with Kansas City too. They have things to play for. I think, you know, we're still going to see them play their starters, at least probably in the first half, just because the AFC is still wide open. And if the Titans lose and if they win, all of a sudden, you know, you can shake things up a little bit. And they want to hold on to that two seed strictly because, you know, depending on what happens, if whoever gets the one seed ahead of them loses, then you automatically, you know, then it runs through you, and they love having the AFC run through Kansas City. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think the Chiefs win in this one, no doubt.
Cowboys, Eagles, a rivalry old as time, two franchises mm-hmm. that absolutely hate each other. The Eagles are in a position, they've actually clinched their playoff spot already because they're 9-7 and all their tiebreakers are in place. The Niners are the one team that haven't clinched a playoff spot in the NFC. So this is more so about positioning. The Cowboys have already locked up the division, of course. So this is more so about pride, positioning, see where you can get there. But I'm going to stick with the Cowboys. Lost to the Cardinals last week, but I think that they'll bounce back. They want to bounce back. They want to set themselves right heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think them losing Michael Gallup definitely plays a little bit of a factor, but I do think that they're still the better team here. They kind of want to get a little bit of that sour taste out of their mouths after the way they lost to the Cardinals and say, hey, you know, we're going to go into the playoffs on the right foot, and, you know, we have a lot to continue to play for, just in the sense of, you know, trying to work out those last-minute kinks. You always want to be playing your best football when you head into the postseason.
Bengals at Browns is interesting because the Bengals are resting a lot of players. Joe Burrow's not going to play. Joe Mixon's not going to play. There might be more people not play. But also, Baker Mayfield's not playing. And he's taking shots at Kevin Stefanski. Mary Cabot was reporting that, you know, basically he was blaming Stefanski for being too conservative and doing things that he's not good at. And now there's all these flames that are popping up in Cleveland. Not like we didn't tell you that might happen anyways. We've been saying it for months. I think even with the Bengals playing all their backups, I think they find a way to win this game because the Browns are demoralized. They have nothing to play for. And the Bengals, I think they would like to beat up on their Ohio brethren just a little bit more.
I think so, too. Just for the fact that no one picked the Bengals to win the division this season. Everyone was saying, oh, it's going to be the Ravens and the Browns. It's going to be a battle between the two. And, you know, the Chiefs, I'm still on Kansas City. The Bengals are like, hey, hi, hello, we're right here. Look at what we just did. We're going to still continue to dominate this division, even without our quarterback who's going to be resting and getting him healthy. And even though they're not going to have Joe Mixon, yeah, they're still going to just have themselves a day. The Browns have just, I think after that Steelers lost Monday night, especially, it's just, you know, the low of the low. And with all this going on in terms of what Baker's saying to his head coach, it's like, there's a lot more questions there they need to answer.
There are. And I think that the Browns are in a lot of trouble when it comes to the stability of their organization right now. And again, this is what we were saying going into the season. I want to see how they deal with success. They've responded to it with a losing season. We'll see if it becomes a double-digit losing season this weekend. Packers at Lions, an NFC North rivalry. It's not really a rivalry. It's more so just a domination schedule. Even if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play in this game and they somehow put in Jordan Love, I think the Packers win this game. They have a lot of talent. They're rolling in the right direction. The Lions, they just need to get to the offseason and draft high, figure it out, and then let Dan Campbell try to build with whatever team they put together next year.
Yeah, I think you're right here. I think the Packers win. And I believe as some of the reports I was reading, at least earlier this week, were saying that they do anticipate their starters to play at least the first half because they don't want what happened a couple of years ago where they rested their guys for what seemed, I think it was, 3 weeks? And then they come back and get blown out. So they know that this is the last real shot, I think, that they have with Aaron Rodgers. Granted, so many things can change. But I think that that organization kind of knows where they're at right now. And they're going to say, hey, you know, we want to at least make sure these guys have fresh legs, but these guys also aren't super rusty. So kind of like a perfect scenario. You go out, you have a great first half against the Lions, and then you can kind of sit back a little bit. So this should be an easy one for the Packers.
The Titans at 11-5 play the 4-12 Texans. Texans have made a bit of a surge here at the end at the end of the season. They've won two of their last three. And they've played a little bit of better football. The Titans, though, they have the one seed and they want to keep the one seed. And they know that Derrick Henry's coming back soon. I don't think that they're going to let up. I think that they're going to be able to finish this season strong. Crazy things can happen, but I think the Titans went on the road and hold on to the one seed.
And the Texans beat them earlier this year.
They did. They don't want to let that happen again.
No, and obviously we know it's really hard to beat the same team twice in the year unless you're the Steelers beating the Browns or the Bengals beating the Steelers, to switch that around, everybody saying what it is. but yeah, I think the Titans are kind of in the perfect situation right now where, hey, Derrick Henry's coming back. We're excited. We have a potential shot at the number one seed. We just have to beat a team that's been going through what seems like everything this season, and I think that they will.
Same here. We're skipping Colts Jaguars, saving that for the final segment because that's imperative on the Steelers' playoff hopes. 6-10 Bears at 7-9 Vikings. Two teams that just want the season to end. Justin Fields will not play in this game. I believe he's on the COVID list. The Vikings. I mean, what a team right now that has gone through some ups and downs. I'm going to pick them because they're at home, but Kirk Cousins has been so wildly inconsistent. Luke Braun of Locked On Vikings keeps trying to push him onto the Steelers. Don't fall for it, Steelers fans. It's a trap. They'll win this game, and he might even look good, but it's still going to not push the meter for Kirk Cousins in my book.
No, I don't. This is one of those games where it's like, you have to pick somebody, really?
Right.
I'm going to go with the Bears just for some fun.
Yeah,
Andy Dalton doesn't know what's coming next for him, so hey, go out there, old cowboy, have yourself a day.
Washington at Giants. Jenna, you warned me not to pick the Giants last week. You were absolutely right. They got just utterly embarrassed. I'm not picking the Giants this week. I don't care how bad Washington's been or who's hurt or who's on COVID. Washington's find a way to win.
The Giants don't score touchdowns. That's all you need to know. The Giants, five games, guys. It's been five.
Like, five games.
I just want one little point here. Steelers fans, you know I love you. You know Steelers Nation is amazing, and it has such a place in my heart. But things could be so much worse. I promise you. promise you, things could be so much worse.
Says the Giants fan who's seen her team beat Tom Brady twice in the Super Bowl. It's wild perspective there, showing like, hey, like it could literally be a lot worse. 6-10 Seahawks, 11-5 Cardinals. Russell Wilson and the Cardinals or and the Seahawks went off last week, but so did the Cardinals. They upset the Cowboys, reversed their losing ways. I say the Cardinals, Kyler Murray at home, they get back on it and they keep winning.
Yeah, I gotta go with the Cardinals in this one too. Seattle is just like, they haven't been great, and then they've shown parts where you're like, okay, they're not as bad as they look. I just think the Cardinals are a more complete team. And again, they just kind of want to go into the playoffs on a high note. It obviously would probably feel very good to say, hey, we snapped our skid. We have two wins under our belts. We're back in this thing completely. Not that they weren't out of it, and that means in those ways, but just, you know, hey, we're back. We're going to go. And yeah, Kyler Murray has just, I mean, it's Kyler Murray. He's been phenomenal. Last week was a great game against the Cowboys too. A great performance from him. So I think that he kind of continues to bode in that direction. And they might get James Conner back as well.
That would be big for them. They need him for the playoffs. 8-8 Saints at 7-9 Falcons. The Saints have just been through it with the quarterback position. The Falcons have been surprisingly not as terrible. Like they, yeah. I thought the Falcons would have double digit losses weeks ago, but here they are at 7-9 with a chance to basically tie the Saints in record at home. I know the Saints defense is supposed to be good, so I'm gonna still ride with them. You know, and that's supposed to be good. They are good. They've played very well this year. It's just their quarterback situation has been rough, but I think it's enough to overcome what the Falcons can bring to the table, where reportedly Calvin Ridley will be looking for a new team after the season.
And like you and I were saying this too, how are the Falcons 7-9?
Where'd that come from?
Exactly. Exactly. I still think the Saints are just a little bit of a better team, especially their defense. And I think that'll be kind of where this game gets settled.
10-6 Bills hosting the 4-12 Jets. Bills are tired of losing games that they should win. They need to win this game for their confidence, not to back into the playoffs, but to charge forward to finish 11-6. Josh Allen is going to do it. Bills are going to come out on top.
The Bills get a chance to clinch the AFC East at home in front of their fans in right now what's a ridiculously snowy Buffalo. It snowed, I believe, in the city itself today, close to 10 inches of snow. This is what they live for up there. And I think the Bills are going to win this game handily to say, hey, the Patriots tried to come in and think they were going to do this. No, nope.
9-7 Niners at 12-4 Rams. The Rams almost lost to the Ravens last week, but they found some of their stride. I think they continue that. You're going to see the defense getting after Trey Lance. You're going to see them get after and create pressure on the rookie quarterback. I think that Aaron Donald is going to have a big game. Odell Beckham Jr. is finding himself with Matt Stafford. In the short time that he's been with the Rams, I think he's one touchdown shy of how many touchdowns he had his entire time with the Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
So I think that he's showing that everything's fine there. Him and Cooper Kupp are going to going to terrorize the Niners defense. I'm going with the Rams.
Yeah, this is a game that the Rams should win. And you talk about Aaron Donald getting to getting the offense there. I just don't see this being a game the Rams win. I know the Niners have to win to get in, but they're a much stronger team in my opinion. And I also think again that wide receiver core. I mean, when you have OBJ feeling himself again and finding his groove, I think that speaks volumes.
Patriots at Dolphins. The Patriots, they're hoping that the Bills can drop their game and that the Patriots can win theirs and they can clinch the AFC East. But I think that the Dolphins, they want one more game I know they're out of the playoffs, but they want to play spoiler. And Jenna, you know, as a person who's covered the Bills for a long time, the Patriots, they, one of their trouble houses is Miami. Even in the times of Tom Brady and being unstoppable, the Patriots have struggled there. I say Miami wins at home, finishes with a 9-8 record, just missing the playoffs. And the Patriots back their way into the playoffs.
I think that's going to be exactly what happens. Miami's defense has honestly been phenomenal. Unfortunately, last week, Tua was one of the main reasons they lost that game. But this is going to be kind of a chance to say, hey, Tua, not only do we play well against these guys, this is a good defense. Go out there because there's going to be a lot of questions regarding you this offseason. Go out on a high note knowing that you're not going to make the playoffs. But again, you can play a little bit of spoiler. I think the Dolphins, I think it's going to be very close, but it's going to just be one of those wild, ridiculous games because this game always seems to be that way. Yeah, I'm going with the Dolphins here. Let's have some fun with it. Why not?
Absolutely. 5-11 Panthers at 12-4 Buccaneers. Buccaneers have lost some disappointing games this year, but they're not losing this one. I know Antonio Brown's gone and Chris Godwin is out for the season, but they want to set the record straight. Tom Brady knows that they cannot afford to, you know, to kind of be feeling not feeling confident about themselves. They need to win this game for themselves. I think they do so at home against the Panthers team that's struggled through the year.
Yeah, it just has not been a great season for the Panthers, and they have a whole lot of questions that they need to answer in the offseason. But this is a game where there's been so much noise around your team. There's been so much. They want to change the narrative. The Bucs want to say, okay, hey, there's so much talk about AB, especially on Thursday. AB putting his side of things out there. Bruce Arians coming out, putting his side. Everybody's talking about it. They want everybody to be talking about their play. They want everybody to be talking about Tom Brady getting hot at the right time, going into the playoffs. You know, as I feel like I've said this about so many teams, like on a high note, that type of thing. They want to change that narrative and change it quickly. They can go out there, have themselves a phenomenal day against Carolina, and all of a sudden you notice a lot of the AB talk drops off.
You know, you do notice that. So I think that's what's going to happen there, because they need to turn that page, get that behind them now with all the drama we've seen in the media this week. Finally, Sunday Night Football, a game that the Steelers just need to not end in a tie. The Chargers at 9-7 at the 9-7 Raiders. I'm actually going to go with the Raiders. I think that they've overcome a lot this year. The Chargers, I think they're a more talented roster. They're the better team overall, but I think the Raiders, they've been trending a little bit better. They've been figuring things out. Derek Carr, I think, is a more solidified leader. It's going to be a wacky game, but I think the Raiders find a way to come out on top in Las Vegas.
And you have to give a ton of credit to Derek Carr and the Raiders for what they've done this season with everything that they've been surrounded with. So all the talk, all the dialogue, everything that's happened and that they've dealt with, and that they're in this position to say, hey, if we win, we get a playoff spot. We're in this thing. I'm going with the Chargers only because this is a game where they have a chance. We feel like we've talked about narratives a lot. They have a chance to change the narrative that's surrounded them. They can't win close games. They can't win the games that count, those types of things. You have Justin Herbert. You should be able to have a phenomenal afternoon offensively. You have a lot of weapons offensively as well that you can use. I think it's going to be close, but I'm going with the Chargers just because I have that gut feeling that this is going to be a prove-it game for Herbert, and he is going to put that on his shoulders and say, hey, watch me go do this.
We're going to get to our final two picks, which is Colts at Jaguars and Steelers at Ravens. The two games that Steelers fans are going to be watching the most at the 1 o'clock hour on Sunday to see if the Steelers can make the playoffs. We'll talk about that in just a second. But first, we got to talk to you about BetOnline.ag. BetOnline has you covered all season long with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football season continues the march to the playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON. Locked On, you'll receive that 50% welcome bonus. From basketball to football to NHL to boxing to UFC, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season at BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, and BetOnline, where the game starts. We're finally here. It's time to tell you Steelers fans what's going to happen in the two most important games this weekend for you. Jenna, let's lead off with the 9-7 Colts at the 2-14 Jaguars. Now, a lot of people, including myself, this is a tall task. This is going to be a big ask for the Jaguars, who, you know, for all the drama that the Raiders have been through, the Jaguars have been through pretty much a lot themselves. For putting themselves with Urban Meyer, they've, you know, really struggled this year. Earlier this season, though, the Jaguars almost got to the Colts. They lost 23-17 in a close contest. But one thing that I've said all week long to not underestimate, and sometimes it's just this way between division rivals. You know, we talked about how the Dolphins, their home stadium, is a hard place for the Patriots to win. Well, the Colts haven't won in Jacksonville since 2014. Which, when you think about it, you're like, wow, that's crazy, because the Jaguars, sure, there was that period that they were really good from like 2017 to 2018, but you look at some of those years, they've been really bad for most of those seasons. When you go and you look at their history, You know, I mean, Jacksonville, sure, they're 2-14 this year, but you go back last year, they had the first overall pick. That's how they got Trevor Lawrence in the first place. They beat that, the one win they had, the Colts in Jacksonville. The year before that, 6-10, still beat the Colts in Jacksonville. The year before that, 5-11, still beat the Colts in Jacksonville. 2016, 3-13, 2015, 5-11. They've been this bad team and still found a way to beat the Colts. And again, this, you know, the Colts have been through different things. They have Jonathan Taylor. They have a better offensive line. But I'm still not sold that the Colts are just going to walk in and own the Jaguars. However, Jenna, I will pick the Colts to win because I do think that they know their playoff lives are on the line in this game. And they cannot afford, they need to run the ball efficiently and finish the season strong.
That is how, if you're the Colts, you win this game. You hand the ball off to Jonathan Taylor and let him do the work. That is how you're going to accomplish it. That is how you're going to find success. Not to mention, it is not only one of your strong points, but you run the ball, you're keeping it away from the Jags. And granted, unfortunately, just, you know, Jacksonville needs a whole lot in terms of what's going to make them a better team, as unfortunate as it is. You always hear about, you know, teams in the NFL, parity and things like that. They have holes that they need to fix, no doubt about that. But this could be a game, too, where Trevor Lawrence says, hey, you know, we've been through some ups and downs. Watch what we can do here. We can play spoiler. I'm going to go with the Colts only because I think it's just going to take so much for Jacksonville to win this game. But it's one of those things where I'm not counting it out completely by any means. It's going to come down in my mind. I think it really does come down to the turnovers and how much Jacksonville can limit that. But again, you saw this Jacksonville team beat the Bills. And how did they do it? They forced Josh Allen to turn the ball over. So if you are the Jaguars defense, if you're Jacksonville's Josh Allen, you do everything you can to get to Carson Wentz, make him feel uncomfortable. You make him play his best football, which we know he's very streaky. He could have a fantastic game or he could have a game where it's the total opposite of that. So I'm going with the Colts in this one, but Jacksonville's going to at least keep it close. I don't see this being the 40-point blowout that they had last week.
Absolutely. I do think this is going to be a game where Steelers fans, they're going to be watching the Steelers-Ravens game and then look and then flipping the channel and then looking, you're checking online. What's going on? What's going on? I think it's going to be that kind of a stressful Sunday for Steelers fans. But that being said, can they win the game that they're up against? They're playing the Ravens. Jenna, you know, we normally go through matches. We're well over our time. So I'm going to just go into it in this. Do you think the Steelers will win? And if so, what is the big factor that puts them over the top?
The Steelers will win this game because it's Ben Roethlisberger's most likely last, I'll say, regular season game. It's been could be his last game ever. They're going to do exactly what they did on Monday. You saw that emotion. They know that they want to do everything they can to play for their quarterback. They want to send him off on a high note and at least say, we did everything we could today. Knowing whatever's going to happen with the Colts and the Jags is going to happen, but they are going to control every single circumstance that they can. And I think it's going to come down to Najee Harris and how the offensive line, if the offensive line can play at least the level they played Monday night against the Browns, you give Najee Harris the opportunity to run the way that he ran, this is an entirely different game. That dynamic changes a whole lot of things. We know the physicality of this rivalry. We know the intensity of it. I think the Steelers do win this game, and it's going to come down to that. And hey, TJ Watt getting a sack or two. You force whoever's at quarterback, which, you know, depending on who it is, Lamar Jackson, I just saw, did not practice on Thursday. So second straight day of Lamar not practicing. If it is him, if it is Tyler Huntley, get to the quarterback, force a turnover or two. All of a sudden, you have more control of the game, and it's an entirely different matchup.
It certainly could be. And yes, Diontae Johnson was put on the COVID list for the Steelers, as is Joe Hayden and Keith Butler, defensive coordinator. Mike Tomlin did tell us Thursday he would be calling the plays in game. He didn't say that. He said that we'll determine that and all that other kind of stuff, but he's going to have a lot more of a role. Mike Tomlin always has a big role in the defense, but obviously with Keith Butler out of the picture for Sunday, if he is, Mike Tomlin wouldn't officially rule him out. But that there's going to be more of a role there as well. I still think that even with those guys missing, the Steelers defense will have the tools to create problems for the Ravens offense. Mark Andrews is the one guy that you're going to have to really keep in check on top of whoever quarterbacks, make sure that their legs don't hurt you. And I think the Steelers defense can do that. You're going to have Devin Bush back. You're going to have Joe Schobert back. Terrell Edmonds has been a tight end, you know, eraser. He's been a guy that's limited tight ends all season long. I truly think that that's going to be a huge factor this game. And gap integrity has been so important for the Steelers. It's gotten much better over the past few weeks. You've seen Cam Hayward, Isaiah Loudermilk, Martavius Adams. Those guys have started to figure out how to play with each other. And don't forget TJ Watt. Alex Highsmith had 2 sacks last week as well. I think that group has a really good week, and it allows the offense to just figure out just enough in this game to get over the top. I'm with you. I think it comes down to turnovers, limiting the Ravens' big plays, you know, and you'll force them to get, you know, to give the Steelers some short fields. And that's where you'll see Najee Harris, Pat Freiermuth, and company with Big Ben finding a way to finish strong. And I do think, like you said, people want to win this one for Ben, just like they did last week. It'd be a great way for the Steelers to go out 9-7-1 and give themselves a chance at the playoffs. Are we wrong, though? Let us know with your picks in runyourpool.com to see if you can get a chance to win a Steelers jersey of your own delivered right to your door. But, Jenna, we're way over time. Thank you so much for joining us here in the Locked On Steelers podcast all season long. We will keep having you on as long as you want to be on this show on Fridays. Thanks so much for being here. Let people know they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
Chris, I want to be here as long as you want to have me. Let's be real. This is like one of my favorite parts of Fridays. Thank you so much, as always. You can find me on Twitter at JennaHarner11, Instagram Jenna_Harner, and WPXI. I will be in Baltimore this weekend for this game, so definitely check on Twitter. Tune in to WPXI for the Black and Gold Zone Sunday night after Sunday Night Football. And then obviously keep following Chris on Twitter too, because he does a phenomenal job as well.
Thank you so much. At Carter Critiques on Twitter and Instagram. Follow me there. You can read my work at dkpittsburghsports.com. Just like you can get this podcast, the Locked On Steelers podcast, on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel to get all of our daily content. Like this video if you're watching it on YouTube to help us out, because that stuff does help us out. If you want to help us out further, leave us a 5-star review with a positive comment, and you get a special shout out at the end of the show. And we got a few of those now. We have a few people that have been joining us in the new year and gave us some 5-star reviews. The first one, we do one a day, so we have 2 more that we'll be getting to next week. But the first one comes from GMTJ2K, gives a 5-star review and says, "Phenomenal show. Love the show. You always have a take on the team that is insightful and accurate. Literally what I listen to first thing in the morning." That's what we want to be, your first listen every day. Thank you so much. We have 2 more reviews we will read next week. Hopefully, Steelers fans, it will be not just on a victory Monday, but a get ready for the playoffs Monday. We'll see about that and let you know how everything went. The show might even come out a little bit early Sunday night based off of how things work out, but we will see that then. I'm Chris Carr from Locked On Steelers Podcast with Jenna Harner. Have a great weekend. We will see y'all Monday.